That was Keeper's Lament, a work performed by the UK's Songhive Collective. Welcome back to the Public Lands Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Pedalty. Today we explore bee conservation and research as it takes place in the field. While I was exploring Eloise Butler Wildflower Garden and Bird Sanctuary with my wife, Karen Miksch, I happened upon an innovative and important program affiliated with the University of Minnesota's Bee Squad. Clara Costello, a beekeeper, equipment manager, and creative consultant for the Bee Squad, was leading the visitors in a survey of bumblebees at the preserve. Kids and their parents enthusiastically took part. After hearing some live sound of the event, we'll hear directly from Clara, who tells us what they were doing at Eloise Butler and why they were doing it. Eloise Butler is an unbelievably beautiful preserve in the middle of Theodore Worth Park on the western edge of Minneapolis, Minnesota. As you enter the gate, you're met with soft wood chip paths that meander around a restored prairie into an Oakland woodscape, through a boggy marsh, and past a cabin where volunteer and staff naturalists help visitors understand the wildflowers, birds, and other creatures that they will encounter there. My wife and I have been coming here for the past 2 decades, delighting in not only the changes of seasons there, but the dramatic differences that even a few weeks can make as the gardens change over from early spring to mid-spring, each phase of summer, and on into the fall. As we walk past bright goldenrod in full bloom, only the faint din of traffic on Interstate 394 in the distance and the occasional aircraft high above remind us that we're in the middle of a city. Inside the sanctuary, we're surrounded by cardinals, goldfinches, a quiet and observant young owl in the tree, and bright purple and yellow flowers of all kinds, with the occasional splash of red. There's very little hint of the rusty reds and various shades of yellow and orange leaves and plants that will come to dominate the fall landscape here in just a matter of weeks. It is still a full-on summer as we walk up the hill to the prairie lands of Eloise Butler. That's where we first encountered Clara Costello. Clara was sitting on a bench by a bag filled with stacks of small, transparent Tupperware containers. Clara was a champion multitasker, handing out the empty containers to kids and their parents, along with instructions on what to do, receiving others from those who just got back and from their latest rounds, marking the bees, releasing them, answering volunteers' questions, and making the entire thing work for all involved. From the excited kids and grateful parents, on through to the bees, who were no worse for the wear, and more importantly, who might benefit from what Clara and her colleagues at the Bee Squad are learning and teaching about wild bees. Here's a bit of live sound from the event before we hear more directly from Clara in an interview.
So when you're catching bees, the easiest way to do it is when they are sitting on a flower. So you'll catch them on the flower and then bring them back, and I'll mark them with pink like that. So if you see one with an orange dot on her thorax, we've already counted her, so we can leave her alone. So what you want to do is, it's when they're sitting on the flowers, they tend to fly up. So you put the cup over the flower and then kind of scoop underneath with the lid and kind of jiggle her off. You don't want to hurt the flowers because this is a wildflower sanctuary, so we want to be kind to the flowers. And you want to be really careful that you don't, the bumblebee's kind of flying around up here before you snap it shut, because we don't want to catch her legs in here. We do have an endangered species of bumblebees in Minnesota, so we want to be really careful that we're not hurting the bees at all. So we do want to know what kind of flower that you caught her on, so if you don't know, please ask for help or take a picture, and we'll see if we can figure it out.
Okay.
So, yeah. More questions?
Like, every kind of bee? Or just
bumblebees.
Okay.
This one isn't a bumblebee. So, it's cool, but this is a honeybee, actually. So, we like that they're around, but we're not counting them today.
It's kind of hard when to see the abdomen when they're going so quickly, isn't it?
Yep.
Shoot.
Shot to her.
All right, so thank you.
Thank you.
What do you got for me? Ooh, big one. What kind of flower was he on? Thank you.
Did she get both of mine? Yes.
Yep, I got two.
Okay.
I just marked the one and set the other one aside because I wrote it down already. One male, patience on the golden rod.
It's a male?
Yeah, it's a male common eastern bumblebee. See how big his eyes are? You start getting lots of dotted ones right around here because... These are all Monarda?
The back ones are Monarda, and then those two are cup plants.
We work with both honeybees and native bees. We run around 500 hives in various places around the metro area, but we are also trying to... we're helping out with bumblebee, with Dr. Evans's bumblebee surveys, and running some of our own as well. I feel like it does a lot to kind of raise awareness and also lessen fear, because we do get some people who come in on bets or dares who are family members who are just terrified, and that's fine. You're okay if you can be afraid of bees. That's understandable, but if you just respect them and understand that they're important, that's really what we're after. But bumblebees especially, they're not really to be afraid of.
The kids are loving this, aren't they?
Yeah,
they always do.
Yeah,
usually
I'm kind of just here for extra.
It's pretty funny when you give a kid a container and tell him to catch a bumblebee.
They look at you, they look at their parents, they look back at you. Really?
You're very good at that.
I've had a great deal of practice this summer. This is my first summer running these.
Oh,
all right, what do you got?
These were both on cup plant, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah.
This one's too, so maybe those.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Great.
Bring all those cup plants together.
And then what do you have for me, Owen?
Remember what plant that was on? Field thistle.
Thank you.
Yeah, he was not happy.
Yeah.
So can that one not sting, too?
Correct. The males cannot sting.
The female, I think... can the female...
Do you want to take a picture of the bee before she lets it go?
Got him.
You said it was on...
On the field thistle.
Great.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think
I know why males...
More.
Males can't... Females have to sting, because they're the one who collects the pollen.
Yeah, so they go out and forage more often, so they need to protect themselves more.
Good thinking, buddy. Good critical analysis right there.
Yeah. Yeah, and people can help themselves to as many containers as they want, and if you have to leave, that's cool too. Hey now.
Thanks for joining us on the Public Lands Podcast, Clara. First, can you tell us what you were doing with your volunteers on Saturday at Eloise Butler Wildflower Garden and Bird Sanctuary?
Sure. We were doing a catch and release bumblebee survey. So I handed out little plastic containers to all of the volunteers and told them to go catch a bumblebee and remember what flower they caught it on. So they would carefully catch bumblebees and then bring them back to me. And I would note the flower, the species, and the sex, and then mark them with a little dot of paint and set them free.
It looked like a lot of fun, but a lot of work for you. So what are some of the goals of that project? I mean, it appeared that in addition to the useful scientific data you were acquiring, that it really educated and involved the public. Is that also part of your intent in doing these public events?
Yes. I mean, it's for sure part of the intent, but we can't really call it outreach because, as you said, I was pretty busy, so I don't have a lot of time to talk to. Actually do a lot of communication and education with the public, but it is a highly desirable side effect, I guess I would say.
Yeah, I would think that those kids are left there. It was funny how I think every single one, the parents would say, well, do you want to go now? And the kid would automatically say no. And they say, well, okay, maybe one more. They were just enthralled.
Yeah.
And I wonder for you then, why bees? I mean, I noticed that you're a German and theater major at the University of Minnesota Mora, and you were a biology minor. I was wondering, at what point did you start to think that your future might be in bees, and what brought you to the Bee Squad? I mean, I cannot help but once again notice that sparks in the eyes of the kids. And I wonder, did you have one of those aha moments or something that brought you to this work?
I don't know specifically. It's really interesting because I feel like all of very small children tend to be really enthralled by insects. So I don't understand what happens as they get older. but yeah, I never really imagined having a career in bees. I started keeping honeybees with my dad, and we, after having taken Dr. Studek's class on beekeeping at the U, but we reached out to the Bee Squad for help with that because it's difficult to learn how to keep bees just from classes and books. You kind of need hands-on mentoring. And honeybee keeping is fascinating just because you open the lid of a hive and there's this whole society going on in there. Wow. So alien, but it's all just right there and they all know what they're doing. Then I asked the Bee Squad at the time if they, were ever hiring, and they said, not right now, but we'll keep you in mind. And a year later, they gave me a call and said, are you still interested? And I said, are you kidding? Of course. So, yeah, here I am.
Well, that's exciting. Yeah, and it's kind of, having happened upon it as somebody that's not a bee specialist and seeing all the kids and the parents so enthralled by it. And like you mentioned, opening up the cover of the hive and a whole collectivity in there. It's kind of fun seeing the human community so, connected to bees and stewardship. So I guess that's my last question for you. You've been more than generous with your time, experience, and ideas, Clara. And one of the things I mentioned in the intro is that the incredible multitasking you do and something like that. But just one more question, and it's really a two-parter and kind of a big one. This podcast is about stewarding public lands. So what are some of the roles that public lands play in the preservation of wild bees? And conversely, why are bees so important to us and public lands?
Well, public lands are a great opportunity for forage and habitat for bees. There are 460 some different species of native bees that live in Minnesota and 4,000 some in the United States. And they all need places to live and things to eat. And public lands are a good place for forage and for habitat. And bees are a fundamental part of our agricultural system. So while it's not true that we would all starve to death if bees vanished, food would be both more expensive and much less delicious. So we kind of need to keep them around.
That makes a lot of sense. And speaking of that, I don't know if you have the information offhand, but if volunteers, if the public wanted to get involved in something like this, where might they go? Is there a website for the Bee Squad or elsewhere that maybe they could find places to sign up to do volunteer work with you?
Yeah, the Bee Squad absolutely has a website. We search the Bee Squad on the University of Minnesota page. We do have some volunteer opportunities. They tend to be a little bit limited, and we can't have the public working directly with our honeybee hives, unfortunately. But there are lots of other ways people can help out.
Sure. Sounds like, and looking for these public events is probably one of the best.
I feel like I should mention that these surveys were founded by Dr. Elaine Evans in 2007, and this is my first year on board, so this is really her project that I'm lucky to be a part of.
Great. And we're lucky we happened upon you doing it, because it was sure fun seeing that and to give a glimpse of that to listeners. And hopefully people get involved and there'll be a lot more of this. And so indirect thank you to Elaine Evans, and a thank you to you for your time and all the work you're doing, the leadership you're showing to protect and steward bee communities all over the Upper Midwest with the Bee Squad and the work you're doing here in town. So thanks very much for your time, Clara.
Yeah, thanks for spreading the information around.
A big thanks goes out to Carol Costello, who serves as a staff member at the Bee Squad and who is leading the bee survey at Eloise Butler Wildflower Garden and Bird Sanctuary. Just so happens that we'll keep a bit of a bee theme going for the next week or two when we hear about what leaders, staff, and affiliates of the organization Metro Blooms are doing to help steward bees throughout the Twin Cities, including endangered bee species. Those interviews will be recorded live on stage at the Minnesota State Fair, the latest in our series of exchanges with stewardship organizations. Metro Blooms is a longtime partner of Ecosong.net and the Hypoxic Punks, our most recent collaboration having been the music video You Can Build a Garden on Ecosong.net. We're looking forward to hearing about all that Metro Blooms have been doing to create and steward habitat for native plant, bee, bird, and butterfly communities, among others. Until next week, enjoy a public park, preserve, river, or lake near you. Watching birds in the forest of place, to a ranger out in Bangor or a stranger in La Granger, we can wet a feed in the Michigan peat or hear a